Joining us now from his office in Washington, D.C. is Middle Eastern historian Amatzia Baram to tell us who has been caught among the 55 most wanted leaders of Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq, the so-called deck of cards, who they are and what they might be able to tell us. Thanks very much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Neil.
And if you all have any questions about the military's most wanted Iraqis, give us a call at 800-989-8255 and send us email at totn@npr.org. And we just got word that number 18 on the most wanted list, Muhammad Hazmak al-Zubaydi, has been arrested in Iraq. What do you know about him?
I didn't know that. It's very interesting. he's worthless. The man is absolutely worthless. He was no less than a prime minister in Iraq in 1991 until 1994. For 3 years he was prime minister. He's a Shiite from the southern part of Iraq, but an old-time member in the Ba'ath Party. And then he became a member of the highest party body, highest state body, RCC, Revolutionary Command Council, and so on and so forth. But he was fired about 2 years ago, and ever since he was just retired. He didn't know very much on the three most important things which you need to know. A, anything connected with WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. B, anything connected with big money. And C, anything connected with missing persons. So, jails, prisons of war. You have one prison of war which you are not sure what happened to him, a pilot, a captain.
Speaker, yes.
Yes, exactly. And 600 Kuwaitis are still missing. Now, this guy maybe knows something about the missing Kuwaitis. I doubt it if he knows maybe about the pilot. Not at all certain. He knows nothing about the money. He knows nothing about WMDs.
So he might be interesting in terms of historical or perhaps...
Oh, yes.
Even...
I would love to interview him. I could even offer him a job as an adjunct professor in my university in Haifa.
I'm not sure. Well, let's leave that there. Now, there were seven others thus far who have been accounted for. Is that right?
Yes. I'd only say that those who have not been accounted for are as important, slightly more important, but it's a very, very promising process, very promising. The first one to give himself up actually was General Amer Asadi, who was one of the chiefs of the Iraqi weapons industry and the main interlocutor between America and the Iraqi forces.
Saw him give many news conferences over the past couple of months.
Oh, he gave many of them. Very good-looking guy, very smooth, very elegant, very eloquent, and at the same time a big liar. So Amer Asadi so far hasn't told us anything, but maybe in secret and maybe in private now he told the CIA or the Pentagon people, but we don't know yet. But he knows a lot. He really knows a lot about the WMD industry, a lot. Then you grabbed another guy who is quite important. His name is Hikmat Al-Azawi. He's the eighth diamond. He was a minister of finance. He knew something. He could tell you something about Saddam's finances. But again, there is one person who knows more, whom you still need to find out. Saddam's minister of commerce, who really was Saddam's closest economic advisor. You still don't have him, Mohammed Mahdi Saleh. Hopefully, within a few days, you'll catch him too, and he's a big fish. But again, Hikmat Azawi, being a finance man, a money man, is important. Then you captured two of Saddam's half-brothers, Watban and Barzan Ibrahim Hassan Tikriti. These are people who are out of the loop, have been out of the loop since, I'd say Barzan was since 1988. Barzan Tikriti, Saddam's half-brother, who was in Geneva for many years,
yes,
is out of the money loop since 1998. But he could tell you, I'm sure he will tell you, how things were done. He doesn't know where the money now is because the years that between now and then have been taken advantage of by the regime, by Saddam, to move the money around. But he can tell you a lot about their systems, of how they moved money, which banks served them, and so on, including criminal banks who were moving money for them illicitly, knowingly, against United Nations Security Council resolutions. The other guy, Watban Ibrahim Tikriti, is the other half-brother, same mother, different father for those people with Saddam. is important because he was Minister of the Interior until 1995. Now, that means the Minister of Interior is in charge of domestic security, many aspects. That means that maybe he can give you some information about your pilot and about the Kuwaitis. He would know. He would know what happened to them, because for 4 years, from 1991 to 1995, he was one of the czars of domestic security. But in that respect, he could be very useful. Another person, which you captured only yesterday, is Jamal Mustafa Abdullah Sultan. Jamal is a colonel. He is a very important person, even though he's regarded, according to the list, he's regarded as one of the small fry. He is a small fry and he's a big Leviathan, because he was a colonel, full colonel, in the Special Security Organization and in the Special Republican Guard, two units in charge of weapons concealment. He knew a lot where they were concealed, how they were concealed, if they were destroyed, how they were destroyed. Now, again, he was also an advisor to the president on tribal affairs. On that, he can be less useful, but still, I would love to have a very thorough discussion with him about the way Saddam used the tribes and tribal sheikhs, whose sheikhs were trusted by Saddam, which sheikhs were not. Sheikhs were not trusted by Saddam, and I would trust those sheikhs that were not trusted by Saddam. So he could yield fantastic information if he's properly squeezed. Now, you still have lots of people whom you need to catch.
And we'll talk about them in just a moment, but I need to say that we're talking with Amatzia Baram, professor of Middle Eastern history at the University of Haifa in Israel, and that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, obviously, the Ace of Spades himself, Saddam Hussein, there are an awful lot of people who have not been caught.
Yes, of course. First of all, well, Saddam himself, we don't know his fate. But the most amazing phenomenon is that not just Saddam, but Saddam, his two sons, Uday and Qusay, and his three chief lieutenants, and I mean really the chief lieutenants in terms of party hierarchy, Tariq Aziz, of whom we all know, deputy prime minister, Taha Yassin Ramadan, who was vice president, and Izzat Ibrahim Adouri, who was deputy chairman of the Revolutionary Command Council, and deputy commander-in-chief of the armed forces. These guys, plus one more person, a general of internal security by the name of Abdul Hamid Mahmoud, who was Saddam's personal secretary and the guy who really knew everything. If you catch this guy, that's it. You can't go any higher. I think he knows more than Saddam does, because Saddam doesn't want to deal too much with details. He knows all the details. He has a fantastic memory. This guy is very unique. So all these guys, top party, top bodyguards, Saddam and his two sons, vanished into thin air.
Well, let's get a caller in, and Faris joins us from Boston, Massachusetts. We just have a minute or so left, Faris, but quickly.
Yes, my question to the professor and the rest of you guys was, well, you have this deck of cards. What crime exactly are we going to charge these people with, and what is the evidence? Clearly, the president said, well, if you leave Iraq, you have no crimes, and you can go live safely. So what is going to be the crime at this point? I mean, is it the weapons of mass destruction? What is it?
The way I see it, if I may answer him, Neil.
Go ahead.
Is this. They belong to two different groups. The money, all three. The money people, I don't think you can really charge them with a lot. Except, breaching United Nations Security Council resolutions. I don't know. I mean, you can put them in jail for 3 months and then they'll have to go free. The security people, who are also in charge of concealment, these are the big fish. Some of them have so much blood on their hands, you can't imagine. Those who produce the weapons, like General Amr al-Saadi, and you caught another guy who was Minister of Higher Education, Al-Ani, and he was also a...
Very quickly.
Yeah, he was a nuclear scientist. These guys, I don't think, these people, if they don't have any blood on their hands, just leave them alone, a few months in jail, and that's it. Those people, the other people I mentioned, and many others who have a lot of blood on their hands...
Gotta go.
...have to try it.
Amatzia Baram, thank you.
You're welcome.
And this, I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.